Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series that's all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. This is Tammy Sims, trainer for the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. Today, we'll be talking to one of Nashville's hottest real estate stars, Alexander Brandao IV, about communication strategies that embrace a brand, get noticed, and generate results. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Supreme Auctions, the only luxury auction company recommended by the Institute. Supreme Auctions is widely recognized as the first auction company to design a program to work alongside and in partnership with luxury real estate professionals and their clients. Go to supremeauctions.com to learn more. Now, Alex Brandao with Keller Williams Realty in Nashville, Tennessee, is an award-winning real estate professional who holds the Institute's Certified Luxury Home Marketing Specialist designation and Guild recognition. Alex's approach to business is intellectual in many ways and intuitive in others. He combines the acquired knowledge and sales techniques with an instinctive flair for how to help people buy and sell what is normally their largest financial asset. His goal is to create a relationship for life with his clients, and that's evident through his referral-driven business. So welcome, Alex, and thank you for sharing your time with us today.
It's my absolute privilege and honor. I'm so glad you all asked, and I hope we can share some positive notes for the other members and, you know, make this entertaining and worth the good listen and watch.
Excellent. So I gave you the formal introduction, but I think it's important for our listeners to learn a little bit more about you, just to kind of set the stage and where you work. So tell us about your background and how long you've been in the real estate industry.
Sure. So I'm Alex Brandao, Nashville, Tennessee, 21 years in the real estate business, but a lifetime in and around real estate. I'm a fourth generation real estate investor. I just happen to be the first generation that's choosing to list and sell property full-time to ultimately fund those investments. And that's been a really interesting part of my career, but over 1,000 closed transactions in my career and primarily database and referral-based business over that time. So really being intentional, really adding to people's lives. And it's been a great adventure, and no 2 days have ever been the same. And those 21 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. And when I read your bio that talked about your mother and grandfather were in real estate, kind of running in the blood. So they were investors as opposed to salespersons. Is that correct?
Quite literally. My great-grandfather actually was one of the first green builders in Nashville. I'm pretty sure at the turn of the century, it was not actually called that. However, he built a home out of a scrap of a train engine roundhouse that they tore down in downtown Nashville. He salvaged these enormous logs that they were casting off, and he brought them across town, built a home for his family that had 9 children, and then he ultimately farmed that, and then as they progressed in life, he built houses around the perimeter of the farm for them. And I quite literally grew up across the street from this farm, not in a house that he built, but quite close. And I have my mom shares many memories of me being around my grandfather and at a very early age, including climbing a ladder and on a roof by the time I was 3. And about 6, I got crushed under an Addams Family staircase. We've got some interesting history in and around real estate. So
I love that. I love that being in a multi-generational real estate family myself. I sure can greatly appreciate that. Now, you didn't start out right away in real estate, though. I understand that that you initially studied sports management and then got a Bachelor of Science in Education from the University of Tennessee. Go Vols.
Yeah, go Vols is right. Yes, absolutely. Just fresh in from a Vols event recently. And it was really interesting experience for me. It was while I was working and getting my degree and working in sports and around sports, you know, there's a lot of similarities in relationship building and in real estate, and in development and fundraising. And then also the service side and the experience side is a big fun thing that we love to talk about in real estate as well. So yeah, we spent a lot of time there and have done some really unique and amazing things. I've actually run through the T in Knoxville, which is amazing, and several other things. I've driven cars on the ice for the Nashville Predators and rappelled out of the rafters with Nash, who's the Nashville Predators mascot, and many other great adventures, which is fun because as I left sports, now being and working in around sports and entertainment with Nashville's having a big footprint in that world, there's some commonalities and some connections. So
Well said. That is very true. Now, you don't work alone. You have a fine team. Tell us about your team.
Yeah, so I was really fortunate that through a lot of education and coaching and learning, I learned that I could not stand alone, right, and do this. So I very, very early in my career found and always, you know, hired quite quickly. I'm very fortunate to be in business and have a business partner that's been with me for entering her 14th year with me, which I would like to say is pretty, it's on the podium, I would say, in the real estate world for longest tenured. I don't know if we win it, but we're in the medal ceremony. That's been really fun. And we've ebbed and flowed. We've had, really big team, as many as 18 people in our company. Our current iteration, we have 9. And we have lots of different pieces to it. We actually have a retiring agent that's partnered with us, and that's really interesting. 37-year veteran who went on a worldwide search and ultimately chose and partnered with us to work with him and ultimately, plan both his retirement and his transition of his practice into ours. And so it would sustain as he walked away, and it has. And then we have several buyer's agents and then several assistants. And then we actually have a few virtual assistants. So, that's our model today.
I understand. Everything is fluid.
Sure.
But I want to have another conversation on another day about that approach to succession planning, because that's something I've not heard of before.
Yeah, for sure. It was really interesting. But yes, I welcome that conversation.
Perfect. So, you're from Nashville, and I imagine that our listeners have a perception in their mind of what they think Nashville is. Tell us a little bit from your perspective about your market area, the types of properties that you deal with, the price points that you deal with.
Yeah, so I love talking about that. I actually used to tell clients as I met them, Nashville has so much diversity in the industries that we have and attract the people, diversity in the style of homes, the price points, the architecture, the size of the land that comes with the property. I used to tell someone that I was from Nashville, fourth generation native Nashvillian, and I was a unicorn. This particular individual was a songwriter, and he took that quite literally, as though I talked about myself in the third person as a unicorn. And he's like, "Hey, unicorn, what's up?" And so I've stopped saying that particular piece. But yes, single digit number of people in the population in Middle Tennessee that's actually originally from here and grew up here. And that gives us a really unique perspective to be able to share the past, the present, and the future with our clients, because there's such a different perspective from where people are coming from, both in experience, style, size, and just even the way the transaction is done. There's lots of different nuances as we're learning with all the different migration patterns from all over the country. So it's really a pleasure to welcome people to Middle Tennessee to have the conversation. And again, to your point, the thing that's most commonly overlooked about Nashville is that Nashville is really approachable. It's not only a friendly and open and welcoming city, it's very diverse in its housing. You know, we actually have, and I surprise people all the time, that we have over 20 vertical residential buildings in Nashville. You know, you and I have shared about that. You all have way more than that in your market, in Chicago and others, but it's been really fun to be a part of that. And not only be a part of it, but we've watched many of them come completely out of the ground and have some great perspective to share that. We have our first big brand residents in Nashville. And that's been amazing because we've been getting referrals and introductions from other friends from the Institute from all over that are referring other folks that have, those experiences with those brands and those residences and specific ones. So that's really interesting. Again, pretty commonly overlooked. But then, you know, we've got Victorians and arts and crafts and, original cut stone houses, as you see here in my background. You know, this is Tennessee limestone. It's 2.5 feet thick, and then a historic house. This is a 100-year-old home that I live in, and then new construction and then equestrian properties and, in-town properties that have little to no, exterior maintenance responsibilities. So really, that's the thing that I most commonly hear is like, we had no idea how approachable, how navigatable Nashville is, though we still do need a car in the South and a hub and spoke, city plan that we have. But we're working on that and hope to have some solutions for the future. But that's a little bit about Nashville's market.
That is an incredibly diverse housing stock. And I know firsthand how exciting it is to see things come out of the ground and to watch a community evolve and develop and to be part of that excitement. I'm so glad that you are experiencing that and welcoming people to that.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun to share it because a lot of times now with the real estate turnover, if they're not, invested in learning in their career and expanding their knowledge, some of the folks that were there in the beginning aren't here anymore. And so they don't know. And so they're learning from us, whether it's on-site representatives or someone that didn't. And it's been really powerful to be able to share that. We actually had the privilege of selling a penthouse in one of the buildings a few years ago that was the first issuance on the market. It's 10 years old, but it was actually bought from a friend of the developers from the blueprints. So it was never publicly marketed. And I think, Tammy, I'm pretty sure we actually talked about some of the strategies of listing and marketing those. And we had such great advantage from the Institute and from the network of talking about what to do because it was a Tuesday for you, but it was a big day for us, and it actually yielded. I don't know that you know this story, but we were doing a neighborhood open house in this building and the penthouse was available. And someone said, you should do a neighbors only open. And I thought that was a fabulous idea. And we had, a nice thing. And it was in an afternoon, when people were coming home. And we were all set up. And of course, it was on the penthouse level. So you had to have the fob to get in. So I had several people in the fob. And so I was in the building having a moment, centering myself. And all of a sudden, I get a knock at the door. Well, there were only 4 units on the penthouse level. And we'd done a mailing to the unit and published it in the newsletter and various sundry things. And it was one of the other residents in the penthouse who is actually renting it from the owner. And has become a fabulous friend and a fabulous client. And he was in there. My team was like, how did he get in here? But he was up there. And so really interesting byproduct from that strategy you shared several years ago. But I did not anticipate that and the depth of the relationship that came from that. But anyway.
Oh, that is a great story. Now, yeah. I want to ask though, so you just gave the story about the penthouse. And I know that you focus a lot on the luxury market. But in an area that has such a diversity of housing, I know that you work all price points. Sure. And so do you have any challenges balancing your messaging so as to attract more of that penthouse buyer without alienating folks in a more quote unquote ordinary price point?
For sure. So one of the things, when we started our journey, our path to luxury, as I often call it, was being in and around the Institute and learning the language, right? The language of sales and the language of luxury really has a big impact on it today. Just this afternoon, prior to us recording this, I was with a client and, I was naming specific things that we talk about often, whether it was an appliance and or a gallery wall or the Lacanroux stove or, whatever it was, and here was the developer. And he's like, I got one of those like really good colored, stoves, the ones from France. And I was like, yep, Lacanroux. And he goes, what? And I said, Lacanroux. And he goes, no. Oh yeah. That. And he goes, oh, look. And he was looking at the spreadsheet and I had just nailed it. And it had that effect. I had to let it sit twice for him to marinate on it. But, you know, that's a key thing, right? Learning the language. And you can do that through classes and from education and from being on site. But what that's one of the keys is really talking to people. As I've been out and about, you can really hone your craft, because that's how people can really identify. You know what you're talking about, and you know the right languages, and you know the difference and some of the different specific building products and styles and the inventory and the history on the property. I think that's a fabulous tool to be able to share as a real differentiating point. And that's just something that I have found that higher level of client expects. And if they don't, they have enough experience to find the person that does have it. You may not even know that you are missing an opportunity or missed an opportunity because it might not have fully seasoned in front of you. So I think that's a real key tip and growth point that we learned was reading a lot and watching a lot and really honing our craft and experience and knowledge around things, because it can be a point that keeps you from it and you might not even know.
And I think that goes back to where I was leading with the question, is that kind of authenticity translates itself regardless of the price point of the people that you're working with, right? Yeah. Understanding, getting a sense of what's important, understanding the nuances and communicating that well. So I think that's great. And now I know you're in Nashville, right? So that French word might be a little difficult even for the developer, right?
Right. So for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Full disclosure. I spent many of my formative years growing up in the Nashville area in Middle Tennessee. So I understand all of that.
For sure.
That takes us further into communication. So I receive your monthly e-newsletter that's called Nashville Notes, and it really stands out. So tell me, who do you send this newsletter to? What's your ideal audience for this?
Yeah, thank you. We really are intentional about our Nashville Notes newsletter, and we are very respectful that everybody gets a lot of emails. We're intentional in two capacities. It's only twice a month, and it's specifically to our agent network. Our agent network, as of the end of this past year in 2021, was our second biggest lead source. And prior to the pandemic, that was not necessarily the case. And so we've really put a lot of time, effort, and energy of staying deeply into our agent network and relationship and calling people and staying in touch and actually caring about their practice, what they're doing, what they're working on, what their priorities are, and staying in touch and staying top of mind, you know. And that's one of the ways we do it. It's a twice a month thing, and it's specifically to agents, because I was seeing all of our friends at events and like, oh my gosh, we should stay in touch. It's so good to see you, and all these catch-ups. And so we've been much more intentional and put time in it every single day to deepen those relationships, but also to nurture the ones that we didn't get to in the 14 days or 30 days prior.
Sure, sure. And the interesting thing is that I didn't realize until I really dug down to the fine print that it was just for other real estate professionals.
Right.
Right. I thought that this was something that was going to your entire sphere of influence. So do you have regular communication that you send to your clients or your sphere of influence that's different than this?
We do. And both of them are privately and individually curated. And I could talk about the production process because we've really refined it over the years.
Please do.
And so we do. To answer your question, we have two completely different databases, two completely different strategies, marketing touch points throughout the year, from calls and emails and videos. So Nashville Notes is our agent network newsletter, and we'd love to have anyone, you know, join that and be a part of it. We promise to take good care of your email address and not take advantage of it and stay in touch. And the intent is to add and share great things that we're seeing and sharing. And it can be as casual as a really great new pen that we're really enjoying working with, or a great piece of content that we had great success with that we shared with our, you know, with our sphere and with our database, or something we're excited about, or a notable thing in our market that might be a good point to highlight in your market and make it, you know, just grow, right? I mean, that's what we want to see. There's a lot of information out there, and that's our intent, is to be sharing cool things that we've seen, conversations we've had. And again, the intent is we're very intentional about going through and going, what would we want to hear? What would I actually take time and listen to and connect with and, you know, really follow up? So we're very, that sounds really, you know, a whole lot of hubris in that comment, and I didn't mean it that way, but I am intentional about making it about the agent and what's valuable and something that they can take and apply and continue to grow their practice.
Well, and you can know that I read it, right? And so sure. I get a fair amount of email, particularly from other agents.
Right.
And I often get those automated email newsletters from about a dozen or more agents on the same day that it comes out every month. And so originality is something that really stands out, and that's absolutely evident. Mm. So you mentioned that you spend time every day working on this. So, so who actually builds the newsletter? Tell me about that.
We have a couple of things that we do there, and the way we do it is we plan both of this. We have a, and then our client email list is called Bowtie Bullets, which is Bowtie is part of our brand, and we use that. And then the Nashville Notes thing is just a fun. I like, you know, playing with the letters and the words and making it all work, right? Nashville Notes and Bowtie Bullets, and it's different content, right? It's different content for different people, so you can't make sure that it's got to be custom. It's got to have some value. It's got to have some, so what we do, the way we create it is we plan all of them for the month at one time. And so we have time slots open. We're also very specific that there's lots of value, both in Bowtie Bullets and in Nashville Notes. And it's not just, hey, send me all your referrals in Nashville. Mm-hmm. For sure do that. But also, there's really great content that's going to help you, that's interesting, that's going to give great value to you and your practice, and that you can in turn take to your clients. And that's where the real differentiator stands out. So we're really thoughtful throughout all of the content that we take in, and we save it. So I have a file that I actually go through and save things to as I'm going through the social world. I've actually started a tradition this month, because I'm not quite up to the enough days to call it a habit, so it's a tradition at the moment, that I am going through and putting timers when I'm specifically like on Twitter. And so if I'm on Twitter, I'm going to go look for content that I want to share. I'll put a timer on first, go in there, and then I'll get sucked into, you know, the Twitter sphere. And then,
that's pretty smart.
Right. Because otherwise, you know, you get going and you're like, what am I doing? And often, as you learn in various, you know, practices, you know, your mind wanders. And then all of a sudden you're like, let's pull that back. And oh, the alarm went off. Okay, I need 3 more minutes. I didn't get enough. And so that's where we find a lot of our content. And then we create it. We also look ahead as we're looking at it in a monthly way about what can we connect with. One of my favorites of all time was we shared, you know, on opening day of the baseball season, we talked about the different things that you could buy in various markets around, you know, ballparks as baseball was opening. And that was really unique, you know, talking about things and, you know, all over the country. And it was also valuable because we could talk about our partners that are in those markets and say, you know, we talked. So we got to highlight 3 or 4 or 5 people throughout that. And the homes that people, when the Oscars are out, right? We'd be like, oh, here's the homes that the Oscar nominees have or live in or just bought or just sold. And we're always, I'll say this, I think this is important to say, like, we're very discreet and private and professional, but we also will share things that are, that those people choose to let be out there. We have plenty of people that want great discretion when they're doing and buying business here in town. And there's plenty that don't, that say, no, put, you know, put Superman on there. And like, I bought a house from Superman. And they're like, really? It's really Superman? And you're like, it's really Superman. And they're like, oh my gosh, I want to sell it to, you know, Superman. So anyway.
So, and just for some of our listeners that may be taking that quite literally, it's not actually Superman. Right.
It was not.
This was a figure of speech.
Figure of speech. And okay. And a figure of speech.
You'll get the phone call.
For Superman?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is not that individual. I can tell you that. But I can tell you that there are several that we've signed. And we've talked about this previously, that there's plenty of times you get it where you're complete and total discretion, right? How to do it. And we've taught clients how to do it. And so you want absolute anonymity. Here's how you do it. Here's how we set it up. But we got to start in the beginning. Yeah. And then we ask that, this is kind of a summation of the past two questions, like, what do? We ask that in the beginning, how private do you want this? And we have folks that live in Nashville that no one knows, you know, people that were quite busy, you know, in the past few weeks, and, you know, and weekends, and they, no one knows they live here.
Right.
Completely off the grid. And that's on purpose. And, you know, that's cool. And it stinks that we can't talk about that, but I signed a lot of stuff that says I can't. So,
right,
so we won't. But then there's been plenty that pop up and go, yeah, well, people are going to recognize this name. You know, Clark Kent, you're going to know, is Superman. And the fictional character, not the actual actors. And so you just go, okay, well, do you want to? And some of them are absolutely comfortable with it. Yep. So it's quite interesting. I think that's a key piece back to that prior comment, but we've digressed from the whole newsletter piece. We curate it individually and we do it in a monthly way. And we look at the opportunities of what can we talk about that's interesting. And that's where it really comes from. And we're very intentional about the volume of it. It's a 4 to 5, 4 to 1, 5 to 1 ratio. 'Cause if you're just sending me stuff about, you know, something in California and to Nashville, like, that's great. And I'm glad to know. And I need more than that because I don't have that buyer today. We need to go deeper than that.
Sure.
So that's our intent with how we have curated it. And it's been cool because you can go along in the week and you can see, okay, we needed a filler here. That's a good one for this month. And then that's why there's a flow to it over time.
I think that's so important. And I do this a lot is file away those notes, have some sort of system where when you see something interesting, you file it away so that when it's time to actually produce a newsletter or a blog or whatever it is, you're not trying to come up with material from scratch. So that's a great tip, a takeaway for our listeners. And let me ask one other tactical question, sure. And then I'll move us forward. I noticed that you're using MailChimp for the distribution. And so are you using the free version or the upgraded paid version?
So we upgraded, we started with, and listen, I'll say this, I am a firm believer in the best thing you can do is something, you know, do something, right? I mean, because we can make it perfect, you know, and all it's always evolving, right? We're always want it to evolve to be the best that it can possibly be. And we started with the free version and with our real focus on this and our agent population and our own. We needed it for the capacity, but also to be able to, you know, continue to add to it as well as check in as we see when people choose to, you know, unsubscribe and whatnot, which is fine. We have a set time to look at those too, because that's a huge distraction for me, right? Sure. You know, that it's a butter, you know, squirrel. And you're like, what is that? Oh my gosh, why? My best friend in third grade unsubscribed. Why? And they were like, because I got in trouble at work. Like, it's cool. I moved it to my private one. Oh, okay. You know, I mean, that happens, right? And so
we have a time
that the team and I absolutely review and audit those to be intentional, and whether or not there's a follow-up or whether there's something that we've done or what have you, it's been a really nice thing. So
that's a very deep take on it, because I think most of us have the tendency to send it and forget it and not really utilize the back-end data.
Yeah.
So in addition to your e-newsletters, both of the formats that we've talked about, you are also making really good use of social media and YouTube. So tell us about what content goes there and how you manage that and in terms of your overall communication strategy.
Yeah, so as the, you know, I'm a very face-to-face, belly-to-belly, personal person, right? I tell people And this is absolutely true. I'm very relationship based, and I only dated four women in my life, and I married two of them. And that's true. Not at the same time, mind you. That's an absolute true fact. And it's funny. You can laugh. I hope they did. The listeners did. But we go through and are very intentional about staying in touch. And the fact is, social media is absolutely a big part of our practice. As the pandemic set in on us in March of 2020, I was doing, you know, between 4 and 6 face-to-face appointments a day, between coffees and lunches and showings and initial meetings and referral partners and, you know, things of this. And I'm many years conditioned into it. And that wasn't an option, right? We got into a place that it wasn't an option. So we pivoted quite quickly and hired an expert that helped us really hone our craft specifically around some socials and what to do and what our unique ability and opportunity was. Because look, people love to see houses. It's quite interesting. I have a really great client who's very, very, very high expectation, very sophisticated and educated client that while we're looking at houses physically on site, she's in Instagram scrolling through looking at other, you know, houses.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And this is a multi-degree, highly professional, big earner person. And like constantly we'll be out looking and she's like, hey, what about this one? I'm like, yep, we looked at that on Tuesday. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like, you know, she keeps going and, you know, that's just, it is part of our world. And so we hired a professional that helped us hone our craft and hone what I call our recipe, right? Our recipe of what to put out there. I think a lot of times, you know, realtors will just, we play this copycat game, right? We see something and we like it. And so we just copy it. But why did we copy it? Well, I don't know, but I saw that person do it. But then I saw this person. And so now we're the Scarecrow and, you know, the Wizard of Oz. Like, which way did it go? But why are we doing it? I don't know, but everybody did. So this is what we loved about getting into with a professional and having a real specific focus. So we started, and again, not all of them are exactly the same. You know, there is different content. There's different ways to shoot things specifically on Instagram. And then there's different content and different ways to shoot for YouTube. And there's different messaging and things to use and to promote through Facebook and, you know, the metaverse now and all of these things. So it's an evolution. And if you look at it all as a complete, the socials as a whole, it's too much and it's overwhelming. And you can just see people like plug and play and they do it across 8 platforms. And, you know, TikTok is another one, right? You see TikTok across all of those platforms. And so it's very interesting. We took it one bite at a time. And so we specialized, we got a recipe, we got focused specifically on Instagram. And then now we have started making a pivot through some other encouragement into and spending some time on YouTube. So my encouragement there is why the reason we did it, how we got comfortable with it being high touch, high relationship, deep investment was I can reach out and connect with 400 people with 3 hours of effort, as opposed to meeting with 3 or 4 with that previous 3 or 4 hours of effort. So we've been able to blend as things are, you know, starting to shift and open up as we enter into the spring here. We're having more opportunity to get back to face-to-face, but we're also still balancing that because we're realizing we're staying in touch. And I would say sometimes we're staying in touch with people that we didn't even know that we were staying in touch with, right? They let us know later that, oh, I've been really watching, you know, your content or what have you. So
That's when you know it really works. You know, we focus a lot on ROI in terms of how many sales did you get? But for me, a lot of it is when we run into people who say, I've been following you and I've been watching you the whole time. That's a really intangible ROI that will pay off in the end and sometimes is not evident. So I think that's really smart to embrace both avenues of the strategy. So I'm going to take us into branding and following your passion, right? Ooh. Because this is part of the overall conversation. So your branding really comes through with Bowtie Bullets, right? And I know that you are a bowtie guy. And those of you that are listening, you should go check the visual on YouTube. And how do you incorporate that personality through all of your branding? Because it's really memorable.
Well, I'm grateful for that. And I would love to tell you that I had a great brand specialist that came through and, you know, we really worked and honed, you know, the craft. And what I will say that I think is the most authentic, which is also a key brand thing for us, is it just came about authentically and naturally. I had always wanted to and be a bow tie guy. I learned how to tie a bow tie and I would wear it at least initially, you know, intermittently. I would wear it sometimes and then I'd go, you know, to the golf shirt or not or what have you. And every time I didn't have it on and every time I ran into someone, it would turn into this thing. They're like, oh, where's your bow tie? And I didn't realize how outrageously impactful it was. And so quite quickly we did. And we jumped right in and said, okay, well, there we go. We're going to wear the bow tie. And, you know, with my last name being Brandaw, the bow tie and the Brandaw gets confused. And, you know, the bow tie guy, like that's the guy. And that's just become part of our thing. And, you know, we were real intentional about the logo. We used one of the various platforms now where there's a competition around building a logo, and our company logo, when we did it, you know, has my initials in it, the A and the B, and then the bow tie is across, you know, the middle of both of those. And so that was important to do it because you need to have the brand out there when you're not. Even our sold signs are into a cutout of bow ties, which has become quite fun because, you know, we've been able to use those and put those on other people's signs and be able to show but have branding on top of that. And so that's been quite fun. But, you know, I think it has to be something that you're like a lot of things that are really, truly successful. You have to have a real connection to it. You know, as we talk about all the time, you can't just walk in and be like, I'm luxury today. Like it doesn't work like that. There's a path to it. There's a process. There's an education. There's learning. And you better know if you're into, you know, equestrian properties, you got to know about horses. And
that's
they're
right.
way bigger than me. You can't tell on camera, but they're like, I'm only like four hands tall. And, you know, these 15 and 16 hand horses, like, doesn't work for me. And I need a ladder and a trampoline, both, and a running start to get on them. So I'm out. Like, there's some great other people that are way into horses but that I can connect you with, but it's not me. But you better know that, right? You better know that connection. As we talked about several people from the entertainment and, you know, the private sector that want some great, great privacy. There's a way that they're accustomed to working and how they work and how they communicate. And that's a big deal. And knowing how to manage and work within that is a key piece. So anyway, that's where the bow tie came from. We are real careful with it and authentic for sure. But I think someone looking for it, it's got to be something that you can promote, right? It's got to be something that you can really, you know, I've seen a couple of friends, they're very much into a specific color. They're very much, you know, they only
I've seen wear, that.
I think that's a cool thing. I've seen a guy do cowboy boots. He always wears cowboy boots. I'm very lucky that my particular brand thing happens to be really close to my face and is almost always, you know, you know, the byproduct of it is real interesting. I am often recognized now, you know, with the volume of the market and volume showings and things, you know, I get often recognized. They're like, hey, you're Alex. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And they're like, oh, well, I, so-and-so, you know, another realtor's client recognized me this past weekend while we were out showing. And there was one of 13 showings walking in the listing. And it was interesting, you know, it's a differentiator.
That's great. So no horses for you. And you're in the land of Tennessee walking horses, right? Tennessee walkers. And so those are the 15, 16 hand horses, right?
For sure.
So, okay, no horses for you. But I happen to know that you've been capitalizing on a different passion, and that is your love for technology.
Oh, yeah.
So there have been a lot of agents over the years who have embraced tech tools, but you've taken it into an approach that really fills the luxury space. So what kind of technology are you seeing your high-end clients interested in?
So it's been really interesting. There's a lot of trends both in their homes and in the meetings and the way they want to meet. and even to tour homes. So that's been a real key piece to our conversation early in the pandemic, as we all discovered, you know, Zoom and web meetings and web conferencing. We've just added that as an option. You know, when the call used to be, hey, it's great to hear from you. Let me know if you'd like to meet in person, meet up for a cup of coffee or for a phone call. Well, we've just added in a video conference. And that's been really powerful because it's helping us identify who they are, how they like to work, and what their preferences are. Early, I was in a Zoom and quite quickly saw someone with outstanding lighting and camera quality and audio, and I dug right into that. And I knew that we were going to be set in a space where we were going to be doing a lot of business that way for the near term. And we invested quite quickly in a studio, not an enormous amount of money, but at our you know, a huge differentiator to one, offer it, and two, show up in a really high quality way has been really impressive to many of our clients. We actually had a client that we never met that during the pandemic was actually in Nashville the day our shelter in place first started, and was trying to get into a home that we had open, but the open had eclipsed and was finished. And she was trying to get in, and the homeowners were there, and they're like, what, you know, and we connected, and it was a realtor actually all the way from Honolulu.
Wow.
And she thought her app would just get her straight in, and you know, didn't realize that we needed to set an appointment and things. We stayed in touch, and because of our connection through Zoom and our relationship, we were doing all virtual showings because they were, you know, quarantined on the island. And we actually contracted, toured, and saw them. The first day we saw them face-to-face was their closing day here in town. And so that was a powerful piece and growth. And so we're offering that with showings. We have a huge migration trend into Middle Tennessee. And so often we're helping people before they're even here. And so we offer a couple different options around the showing capacity, whether it's an actual on-site guided virtual tour, like a live through WhatsApp or FaceTime, or even a Zoom. We've had some of that. And there's some components there to ask them. That's a differentiator when you're competing to earn business. Like, are the other agents offering this? Because we are. Even go a step further, that how many people need to be on it? Because depending on how many people need to be on the virtual, it depends on which platform you're doing said virtual tour on. So that's
that really, I want to focus on that for a moment, because I think all of us are seeing some virtual showings and that sort of thing. But having proficiency and really going to the next level in multiple platforms is a way that you can take that to the next level. You mentioned WhatsApp, so that's great for international clients or folks in different zones. And you know, FaceTime doesn't work for people that aren't iPhone users, right? So having different options and being well versed in them is absolutely something that can set you apart when everybody's dabbling in it. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And now those of you that are listening, you may want to go have a look at the YouTube recording. Alex, I'm going to ask you to show off some of your fancy lighting in your home studio. He gave us choices as we were coming on to the call. And so it is a really remarkable space there. He can set the mood. And the one that we've been seeing is, did you call that bright energy?
Yeah,
is that
what energize,
right? So you can even set the tone. So I'm sitting here with my my ring lights that are providing better than average lighting, but he's gone a step above. And you mentioned, just on the technology piece, you mentioned that you're seeing some of your clients converting their home theaters, right, previously kind of static spaces, into e-gaming spaces. And you talked about one of your clients that invested in a $100,000 TrackMan. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so a trend we're starting to see, and there's a lot of interesting ones that have really come up in the past 2 years. One of the spaces we spend a lot of time on is talking about all the technology around homes, all the smart different features and hubs that come in. And it's just something that we really enjoy, as you said very well, is a passion of mine. And I wasn't an expert at it. We just started, you know, investigating it and looking, and there's just so many resources and people will ultimately, you know, you connect to. I can tell you for sure, I feel very connected to many of my mentors that taught me about, that I watch and learn from about the various things. The lighting that we have here is because of a particular YouTuber that we connected with, and I liked the way they, I've never met them ever, but I can assure you, I feel very connected and very much in relationship. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't ever done that or haven't really done a deep dive, go find that, because there's multiples that I can tell you that I feel very, very connected to and have learned an enormous amount from, both mechanically in real estate and technology like this. Again, my studio is a very, very high quality studio and was very affordable, and is a big, you know, is a big tool in our practice overall.
Okay, so twice now you've referenced that it wasn't terribly much money, but I know we're going to get the question. If we were in a live chat mode, somebody would, sure, would say, how much did it cost? How much did you spend?
They have to join our live chat that we're doing next week. I'm kidding. No, I spent $2,000.
Don't tease them.
$2,000 is what I spent. And
perfect.
What I will tell you is, as you research this, there's several specific different YouTube channels that we followed, but there was one in particular, and I'll be happy to give you the link so you can tag the YouTuber of the what we did here, but we've blended because we learned, like, the lights here, like, that's a really key component to having really super high quality video. And that makes a huge difference. And that's one that most people, a lot of people have done the ring light forward, but they're not necessarily doing the up light or the rear light. And we found a way to do that in a very affordable and available way, right? Because supply chain issues, there's a lot of things that weren't there. And we've learned which cameras that we need to use, right? We've got specific cameras that we use for streaming. And then we have others that we use, and a gimbal that we use on the other shooting, so we don't, you know, make everybody motion sick while we're out there. But listen, I mean, it was a process. And we're, now that we have it, even this great audio, you know, this great mic, you know, it did not come from the Grand Ole Opry. It does look like that. It is very similar, but it is not. One, and it's just a plug and play USB, but the audio quality is outstanding relative to just the internal mics. But again, I'd encourage anyone thinking about it, just get started, because you'll have your own evolution of what you want and how you want it to work. It's been fun. And like I said, I'll be happy to share the link as to who we modeled this after.
So when we talk about incorporating passion and things that are fun and exciting, I want to just wrap us up by giving you some props for the level of involvement that you have in your community and also within the profession. You know, it's not all about straightforward business, and you've given us some great insight into how that can be really kind of tweaked to be business, but be meaningful. But I noticed that you are particularly generous with your time and your talents. And so tell us about some of the most recent community involvement that you're doing that brings you the most joy. I know your resume is loaded with some. So just hit a couple of high points of shout outs that you want to give for your community involvement.
So one of my favorite things, someone told me early, and they said, you should be involved in something in education. You should be involved in something with, you know, with health. You know, and you should be involved something with the arts. And I've always really focused on that. I thought those three things, because there's a lot to get involved with, right? And so there's a lot of different things. I'm very, very involved with the Boy Scouts of America. I have 4 children, 3 boys, and at various levels of scouting. And I have quite a different level of involvement. I'm involved with the board and then the district board, and then I'm even involved on the PAC and troop level, quite involved with the Boy Scouts and various things. I'm also very fortunate for the industry that we're in. I can actually, at, you know, 45 years old, still go to Boy Scout camp and to make sure that those boys have that first good experience. And that's amazing, right? To be there, to make sure it's a good one. And then now, you know, 2-3 years going forward, it'll have a good experience. And so it is not luxury, I assure you, going to Boy Scout camp, but it is very powerful. And it's very interesting because you connect to other people's clear passions. I'm also very involved with my high school and University of Tennessee, and Father Ryan High School here in Nashville. And then we're also active with in the arts world here with the Tennessee Performing Arts Theater and their Broadway series. And so we've been members and subscribers there. My wife is a huge Broadway fan. And so in turn, I am absolutely, and have been for many years now. So that's quite fun. And it's fun to be involved and to give back. And there's lots of other things. I really am always rewarded by the time that we prioritize to have impact in the community. And it's really quickly overlooked. One of our other connections is to Nashville Public Television. Interestingly enough, that came directly from real estate when a client called. It was one of my listings. And a client called and said, "Hey, I can't get there. Could you show my client?" And being collaborative, I said, "Of course." And the client was late. And as we do, I'll be vulnerable. I was frustrated that someone else's client was late,
standing you up.
And I was like, what is that deal? And so again, in my kindest way, and I was like, "Oh, hi, how are you? Did you know I've been here for 20 minutes? She's like, "Yes, I'm so sorry. I had to do an emergency on-set test at work in case a volunteer didn't show up." And I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, and I said, "What do you do?" And she's like, "Well, I work just up the street at Nashville Public Television." And she's like, "We have volunteer hosts." And I said, "Oh, you can volunteer to do that? To go like on television and do this?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, for sure." And I was like, when are tryouts?" She's like, "Oh, next week." And true story, I know I've totally hijacked this piece, but this final question, when I showed up, there were 38 people in the room, all of them with journalism, broadcasting, or professional television experience. And they actually picked me to be one of their hosts because, as we do, we have to be able to talk extemporaneously, consistently, clearly, and be able to look at reflections of ourselves for a while and not blink and get screwed up. And so that's a fun thing that we've done that's also education and arts based. So,
well, and that doesn't surprise me at all. And it's kind of funny when you describe the skill set for that type of hosting. Now we are all used to staring at ourselves in the in the Zoom environment and trying to stay on task. And I also we don't have time to go into it, but I also really want to thank you for your involvement in the industry and for mentoring other agents and for being willing to take leadership positions and help with education and the elevation of our industry.
Well, and thank
that's,
you.
That's something that I don't want to overlook.
It's my pleasure. I love it. And I'm happy to help you or anyone else that listens. I'd love to stay in touch. And listen, we all get better as we grow together. So I believe in that and happy to help in any way I can.
Excellent. Well, Alex, I'm incredibly grateful for your time and your talent. And for the rest of you, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of A State of Mind, The Art of Selling Luxury Real Estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing, you can find more at www.luxuryhomemarketing.com. And if you like what you just heard, please share it with a friend. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast.